We're going to talk this hour about something I think is pretty darn serious, night terrors. You know, a lot of people, Michael and Nicole, they aren't that concerned about it. The medical industry doesn't seem concerned about it. I think it's a sign of something, isn't it?
Absolutely, George. Night terrors are nightmares on steroids. And it's really a sign of, in many cases, astral invasion. In our dreams, when we sleep, we dream. When we dream, we actually leave the body in energy form. And where we go is dimensional travel into other dimensions and other planes. And when we do that, we are open or exposed, really, to night terrors, which result from coming in contact, in many cases, with astral entities, psychic criminals, really. There's criminals there, just like there are here.
Who tends to get the night terrors more often, children or adults?
I think it's pretty well split. We tend to think the children suffer from them more because it seems more prominent because they're a child, and we tend to it and we notice it, and the kids are waking up at night all the time. And in the case of children, in many ways, it's usually a memory of their past life. In other words, when they dream, they're suddenly that curtain that separates this reality from the sleeping reality is ripped back, and the child will actually remember, especially at the age of 2, 3, 4, and 5, they'll see that past life, and they'll have a quick memory of possibly how they died, or maybe they were, you know, tortured in a previous life. And that memory, when they wake up, leads to night terrors. They're afraid to go to sleep after that.
And the other half of the dream team over there, Nicole. Nicole, do you see night terrors different from nightmares?
Well, I think they're more exaggerated, thus, you know, resulting from more anxiety and whatnot. And so, you know, the bottom line, we are responsible, George. Each individual is responsible for encountering these things. But there's tools, you know, that we can get to a little bit later that we can use to prevent and protect ourselves. Really, I see it as a form of spiritual insulation.
If somebody is having, you know, a bad time at work or a rough time in their relationship or life just isn't going the way it should for them, will they be more apt to have night terrors or will they have the nightmares?
I think, you know, the nightmare to me is a strong message coming through. And once an individual takes action, well, the nightmare goes away.
It goes away, right.
When, you know, lack of action turns into the most severe form, i.e. the night terrors. Once again, we're responsible.
At what point in the sleep state, Michael, do these night terrors hit?
They usually hit in the deepest part of sleep. Sometimes, actually, George, they hit in the REM state sometimes, and it all depends on the individual and whether it's a child or not, because children usually outgrow them.
And REM, of course, being the rapid eye movement stage.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, in the deeper sleep, the delta sleep, actually on EEGs and in dream clinics, when they have people hooked up for brain activity, they found that the night terrors actually strike sometimes in the deepest part of sleep, when we are actually at that point we are most exposed. And like Nicole said, there's certain tools we can use, and it's kind of like going into a bad neighborhood. You know, you go to a new city. If you wander off into certain parts of whatever that city is, say LA, there's a chance you're going to get mugged. There's a chance you're going to get run into some criminals. Mm-hmm. They're going to take advantage of you. In a dream, it's no different. It's kind of like as above, so below. In the astral plane, when we're dreaming, also we get off the beaten path and we run into psychic criminals, astral entities, and they will take advantage of us. And we wake up from those night terrors. We have anxiety, depression, and fear. You know, insomnia and fear of going to sleep again.
How many great movies have we seen coming out of Hollywood where the criminals want to assassinate somebody, for example, and they will go into their dream state to try to give them a heart attack or something? Is that even possible?
Actually, yes.
Really?
Yeah, and
that means governments must be working on that.
You bet. It's probably the greatest and the newest weapon. And many people who suffer a cardiac arrest, a heart attack, and that, you know, it's just recorded as that. And we don't have a clue. But really, they had a heart attack because in the dream state, they were in possibly a fight or mortal combat where someone actually killed them in another dimension, and it caused such terror at the physical level that they suffered a heart attack.
You know, and I've always wondered about this, about people who die in their sleep. We've heard so many stories, especially of prominent people. I think Danny Gans was one from Las Vegas, the entertainer
right.
there. They right. die in their sleep. Michael or Nicole, what prevents them from, if they do, I don't know, but what prevents them from waking up at least to try to struggle to the phone or something? How do they just die in their sleep? You would think that, you know, if you were in the process of a heart attack, you might wake up a little bit or you'd feel pain or something. How do they just die in their sleep?
Good question, George. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to have a stat, like has there been millions of people who have possibly died in their sleep and didn't awaken? And it really has to do with our ability in the dream world, in that other state, to remain aware and protect ourselves. And what we found in our research, and we've been doing this for over 20 years, several decades, is that our ability to shift our focus in the dream state, in other words, shift our focus back to the waking state, we suddenly wake up and we are out of the trouble spot. We're out of the astral dream, the astral hell, or wherever we're at. And if we have that ability to shift back and forth very quickly, sometimes we can sidestep adversity, and we won't be blindsided in the dream. But if we can, in many cases, we end up, it's possible to die in the dream, yes.
I've always wondered, too, Michael and Nicole, if dying is really like the dream state, where you just really never wake up. Your dream just seems to go on and on and on, and, you know, you're not aware that you're dead, you're not aware that you're alive, you're just in this dream. Is that possible?
Yeah, simply shifting states of awareness, states of consciousness.
Yes.
And, you know, according to some sources, you know, they claim that there's about 12 to 14 different planes, you know, physical being the first and the foremost and the one that we're used to and typically the one that that we focus on most. But there's so much other activity and things going on when we shift our state of awareness or our state of consciousness that it's most... most miraculous.
Tell me a little bit more about these psychic criminals.
Psychic criminals are the easiest way to really describe it, and it's kind of difficult to put into words because it occurs on other planes, and it's like when you wake up from a dream and you go, whoa, what was that about? It's real chaotic. And that's because we were in another dimension that may not translate totally down to this one in the waking state, but the psychic criminals there are just like the criminals here. In other words, as above, so below. Each plane is built on the substructure and predicated on the other plane, the inner plane. So there's a, you know, different dimensions, like Nikki said, maybe 12 dimensions, that even quantum speculates today that there's 12 dimensions. These criminals are in violation of spiritual law, and there's astral police who try to police the area and keep the criminals in check, just like there's cops here who keep criminals in check.